Welcome to the Hot Level Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer, Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Post-holiday edition, Jay. We got lots to talk about. It's not maybe as Padres positive as it was the last time that we spoke. But here we are. Padres Nationals are already engaged in a series. I'm going to tell you, Jay, I was disappointed. The Padres should have won that game. They were lined up to win that game. And that's crazy because their starting pitcher allowed 5 runs in the first 2 innings.
So are we just talking about set up to win last night's game or a couple of the other games while you were gone that they probably should have won as well? But last night for sure, and I'll credit Tom Krasovic, who's talked a lot on, especially on Twitter, about that, the success the Padres have had in run prevention. I'm always getting messages from him. Another game last night, 3 runs, 2 runs, that kind of thing. And he tweeted today that last night was only the fourth time all season that the Padres have scored 5 runs or more and lost the game.
Really? Is that interesting? Because that was in my newsletter, but, you know.
Hey. Was it? Okay. Well, I guess
Kras is terribly interesting, but I just had to say that was in my newsletter.
But that's on me. But anyway, two of the other five were in extra innings. Can we stop this tape and run again? And one of them was in Denver. But anyway,
interesting. Now that, that is a Kras tidbit right there.
Okay. So there is something that I gained. I thought I read your newsletter in the middle of the night when it came
too.
Over. Because I get that advance notice there on my email, and I looked at it then, and I don't know, maybe I didn't get all the way.
You fell asleep in the middle of it.
I wish I could have fallen asleep. It would have made for a better night. But anyway, no one wants to hear about my insomnia. That was definitely a game last night, as you said, even though the Padres starter was terrible in the first 2 innings. And I shouldn't say he was terrible because, boy, the first 3 or 4 hits in that inning were, I mean, they were like 73 miles an hour, 75 miles an hour. I think the hardest one was like 84 or something until Soto's sacrifice fly. And then the next ball, I think, was hit hard. But anyway, just a sort of an unlucky inning for Joe Musgrove. But still, you're down 5-0. You know, you come back to tie it, and now you're into the bullpens, and you figure normally the Padres have an advantage when you get into a bullpen game. But their offense was incredible after the fourth inning. I mean, they might as well have just gone home. That was remarkable against pitchers. I mean, look, these guys are all big league pitchers, but they weren't facing, you know, Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddux down the stretch there, and they had one base runner in the last 5 innings and none in the last 4. So really, a disappointing effort there. And it seems to happen at times where they score a bunch of runs. You know, even the other day, I mean, Manny hits the 2-run homer in the first, nothing happens after that. The day after that, Manny hit 2 home runs. And then really nobody else did anything up until the 9th inning, poor Hector Neris. In the rain, but still the offense has, I guess you could say, has still not come around.
Yeah, which is an interesting thing to say because I'm noticing a lot more multi-run innings. You know, they're jumping on teams early, but you are absolutely correct. Then there's these long stretches. Those are both trends. Like they'll put together even 2 multi-run innings in a row and then nothing. So just like they did last night, by the way. And that's partially because there's, again, still too many holes. You know, Eric Hosmer, who didn't start last night, but, you know, Will Myers, who got 2 hits last night. But generally speaking, there's 2 or 3 guys where last year, if that's what we're going to compare to, and it was only a 60-game season, but that's kind of the team that was built. It was 3 or 4 or 5 guys every night having 2 or 3 hits or a big home run. And that's not happening. You have your dominant players in Manny in particular, the last, let's say, 3 weeks. Fernando Tatis Jr., who last night was, you know, we'll get to that. There was a few incredible moments. And,
Cronenworth,
except for 2 weeks, this guy, that's the best thing you can say about him. I mean, maybe it's not actually. There's a lot of good things you can say about Jake Cronenworth. But he probably has been the best guy on the team for the most steadily. He's been the best guy on the team. He really has.
And the guy who has, I mean, Tatis has obviously been Tatis, but he's missed time. Yes. You know, Manny was off to the slow start. You know, Tommy Pham got off to the slow start and then was incredible for, I don't know, what was it, 5-6 weeks? Yeah. And now he's like, he can't buy a hit. He's 0 for his last, I don't know if it's 18.
It's 19, and it looked awful familiar 19. Last night.
Yeah, 0 for 19 now. And so it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What I thought this was, you kind of think, okay, that left field, you don't have to worry about anymore. Now maybe you do have to worry about it. You know, I think Grisham is fine in center. You know, Myers is Myers. You know, he's just as liable to go on a Manny-like tear here as he is to sort of go into a Hosmer-like funk, if you want to compare those two guys and what they've done recently. Hosmer had a horrible June. I think his OPS was under 500 for the month, which is just, you know, that's awful. You can't have that out of a guy who, whatever else he might bring to the team, he's got to bring more. He's got to bring more than that, you know, to the table. Cronenworth, Tatis, Machado have all been fine. They're still missing, you know, Austin Nola. I mean, allegedly he's coming back. Allegedly that'll be this season. But it's, you know, I'm always cynical, and I hate to be – I'm always cynical, period. That should be a period. But I hate to be cynical about Nola, but we've heard for so long that he's working out, he's coming back, he's going to be back by July, he's going to be back by the break. Now he's not going to be back by the break. You know, it was the same kind of thing when he got hurt the first time, where these estimates for injuries that the Padres give, and whether Tingler's getting bad information – or he's just choosing to give, to be more optimistic publicly or whatever. You can't count on, I'm not counting on Austin Nola until I see Austin Nola, but they need Austin Nola to, you know, to get back into this lineup.
Yes. I do think that was two mistakes by, well, at least the first one, I think maybe was bad information. They really did believe he'd be back sooner and it just wasn't responding. Mm-hmm. This one, I think Jace spoke prematurely, you know, when he said 2 weeks, and it set up this thought that it was failure. But now you are reaching a point where I think what they've done is just said, hey, after the All-Star break, and you know, right, he'll be going on a rehab soon. I have seen him catch. I have seen him run. I have seen him hit. And I've seen it with regularity, so that it's not like, oh, he's doing it and then he's not doing it for a week. And so there was some sort of setback. But, you know, I would think, I know because I asked. I mean, this is a pretty rough thing for a catcher. Why sprained knee? Why anyone said 2 weeks? And Jay, I think it took about 3 seconds after he said it for you to text me and say that was poppycock. So
I think I even said on here I would take the over on whatever they said about that injury. I'll take the over. I did not expect it to be this much over, and in no way am I blaming Austin Nola for this at all. I mean, injuries take time to heal. And he should take as much time as he needs. If there's a failure in this instance, it's the failure in terms of being accurate, you know, giving accurate information to you know, to the fans and to all of us. And so I think it would be great when Nola comes back, and hopefully we'll see him. Yeah, and I think hopefully we see him on this, you know, on this trip. That's kind of a grueling trip when they come back. I mean, 6 straight games and another in hot and humid, you know, Washington and Atlanta, no days off, and then 4 more games in Miami, where at least it's climate controlled. But that's a 10-game trip right out of the break, and it would be good, you know, even if Nola and Caratini were able to split those games 5-5, have Nola catch every other day, because I'm sure he's not going to go back-to-back to start with. That would still be big, you know, for these guys to be able to get him back there.
And I would think, and I don't think it's the answer. I still think that maybe you need to bring somebody in, which they are looking at. But his versatility allows you sometimes to use him off the bench more than, say, you would another catcher for when he doesn't start. And right now, correct, their bench, I mean, the Jorge Mateo, that just has to be done soon. That has to be done.
And so maybe the answer is a third. I mean, maybe that extra bench guy becomes a third catcher so that Nola can be a guy that, you know, can pinch hit and double switch and whatever. I don't know, but they clearly need to do something in that spot. I will say that I did not have any problem last night, and Mark Grant mentioned this on the broadcast about Musgrove hitting with the bases loaded when it was 5-3. I think if it was 5-0 or 5-1 maybe in that situation, then I think you would have needed to send someone like Profar up in that spot. But I think at 5-3, you're in the game enough where, and Musgrove seemed to have found himself in that third inning where you want to keep him in. I do have issues with some of the bunting that's going on. It happened, the Ha-Seong Kim bunt over the weekend in Philadelphia. I'm guessing he did that on his own.
That's what Tamer it seemed like.
Seemed like he was trying to cover for him a little bit, but I wouldn't say he did the best job of covering for him. Just his quotes just sounded a little bit like, well, we're playing for more than one run there, but Ha-Seong wanted to move the runner over. And it's like, it's sort of, you're sort of in conflicting information there.
Thus putting it on Ha-Seong Kim, right.
Right. But you should not, when you're on the road, especially, I mean, it's one thing if you're home and the game's tied and it's the bottom of the 10th and you want to have somebody bunt that runner over to third. That's like the one time where maybe that's okay. But if you're on the road, you can't be playing for one run in that situation. Plus, the fact is that it seems like 8 out of 10 times the Padres try to bunt these days, it's somebody fails anyway. It's either a pop-up or a bunt too hard and it turns into a force or whatever it is. But my bunt frustration is frustration level has been rising recently. I'll put it that way.
Maybe the failure there is in telling him, do not bunt under any circumstances, because right. That had to be Ha-Seong Kim. So, yeah. You know, do not bunt, because they have, you know, they allow their guys to make these decisions. And, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there's times you where you don't.
Right. Sometimes you can't give just the green light for anything. It's like sometimes you need to put up the stop sign for stealing. Sometimes you need to put up the stop sign for bunting. And I think what's happened is through time, bunting has become such a part of the game for these guys as they grow up, really. And even in high school and even college with aluminum bats, to see all the bunting that you see, shouldn't be bunting when you have an aluminum bat, but just hit the ball over the fence. But I think that the players grow up thinking, and the crowd cheers whenever they bunt. They think that the bunt is a good play. And most of the time, as we know, it's not.
It's unselfish. So, it's what a team player.
This yeah, is, right. Right. It's like having a professional at bat.
So tonight, Ryan Weathers faces someone. We'll focus on Ryan Weathers for a second. They brought him back up. He wants to be a starter. He was put in the rotation while Denelson Lamet is out, probably until after the break. Heck, Denelson Lamet might not be able to start after the break. So, but you know, Ryan Weathers has been somewhat effectively wild, different kind of effectively wild than Blake Snell. He doesn't get quite that much trouble, but I think it's big as people start to see Ryan Weathers. It's big that he shows that he continue to get guys out, maybe without getting in all the trouble that he's getting in. So that's a big start for him. Plus, what are the Padres now? 2-4? What are they? 2-3 in the month of July?
1-4.
1-4. That's great. That's just super.
And I was going to say, Weathers was, like you said, he was sort of had that kind of a Blake Snell line in Cincinnati last week although he gave up 2 runs, and sometimes Snell doesn't even do that in one of those games. Although on the road, that was different over the weekend. But, 4 walks, 5 hits in just 4 innings, that's not going to do much for your whip. But he did only give up 2 runs, and kept the Padres in the game while he was there. But you'd like to see a little more consistency, from him tonight. And probably I do wonder about if you're trying to limit his innings. I wonder, and we can talk about this more on Friday when we know a little more. But I wonder, do you have him make the start on Sunday? It's his turn. So maybe if Lamet is capable of coming back, it's better to throw him. I don't know. If you're trying to limit Weathers innings,
if he's capable,
I guess Weathers could pitch Sunday, and then you put him at the, hopefully Lamet comes back after the break and you can skip Weathers there. I don't know, but they're going to need a pitcher on Sunday. And it's Weathers' turn. It would be Weathers' turn in the rotation.
I think they go with what they need to do on Sunday. And mm-hmm. maybe also you do have the 4 days off afterwards. So how was your bullpen used in the days leading up to that? Right. their thing with Lamed is, man, we got to get this guy to where he is right before he comes back. So there's that. Tomorrow, Chris Paddock and Patrick Corbin. And then on Thursday, the kind of matchup that I've come to relish because we never saw it for so long. The other team might have had a really good pitcher, but he was facing a pitcher for the Padres who, you know, we hoped would be good one day or used to be good or was never good. But Yu Darvish and Max Scherzer, two of the probably top 10 pitchers, their numbers say that this year in the National League. So that will be fun on the finale for the Nationals Padres.
Although somehow Scherzer with his 2.1 ERA didn't make the All-Star team. I mean, I don't want to get in. I mean, there's always going to be snubs, but you have a 2.1 ERA and you don't make the in today's game and you don't make the All-Star game. So today's game, I mean, offense is down, but still 2.1 ERA in any era of baseball seems like you would be good enough to make.
He's top five in the National League in virtually every statistic. So that's weird.
But he's not on the All-Star team. I did not. It was so weird because someone said, "Oh, Scherzer didn't make the team," and I had to think back, like, "Oh yeah, I guess I didn't hear his name called. How could his name not be called? I mean, it seems like he would be like after DeGrom, he would be like just about the next guy."
I did have to double check because I was checking who are the Nationals All-Stars. I make sure that I have that in my head before the series starts, and so I did a search by WSN on the All-Star team, and okay, Soto, Turner, okay, wait. Sure. Okay, now I'll do a search by Scherzer. Maybe they have him listed on the wrong team. Yes, Jay. Right. By the way, we haven't talked about this. In your opinion, did Manny Machado get snubbed?
Again, is Manny Machado an All-Star? Yes. Okay. I mean, did he get snubbed? I don't know.
It's a little late, Jay. He did not have All-Star numbers even a week ago. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when the voting was done, but that becomes part of the issue with the All-Star game, though, is. How much are you voting on first half stats and how much are you voting on guys that are all-stars? And as long as the all-star game is going to be about first half stats, well, I don't know. Then tell it to Max Scherzer. So,
Walker
Walker Buehler didn't make. I mean, the Dodgers don't have a pitcher.
I think there were bigger snubs. I think that as members of the San Diego media and San Diego fans, we can focus and we can say he was snubbed. Look. I'm one of two guys that voted him second MVP. I thought he was MVP over Freddie Freeman the final week last year. I think his defense is better than ever. I think he may end up being MVP this year, but I don't think he was an All-Star this year because until Sunday, his OPS didn't get above 802. And, you know, Justin Turner's not an All-Star. There's all sorts of people that aren't All-Stars.
Yeah, no, there's a lot. I mean, like I said, he's an All-Star player, but is he an All-Star this year? Probably not. So, and I mean, his defense just, I don't even know what to say anymore about it. And it's different than, I mean, because it's so good every single night and he makes so many plays that would seem to be difficult for most guys. And they're probably difficult for him, but they just don't look difficult. And then the guy next to him, I mean, last night, I'm not sure what you even say about the play that
Do you put that at the top, Jay? Do you put the Tatis's play at the top of what you've seen from him, or where is it?
Off the top of my head, boy, the one out in the outfield with the whole, the jumping, leaping, running thing, that might have been more. This was just incredible athleticism, someone who's able to jump that high. But the great thing about last night's was it's like he jumped and I think one of the guys even said it on TV, then he jumped again. Like while he was in the air, he jumped again. And I don't know if I put that above the play in the outfield.
Play in the outfield was vintage. You're right. Yes.
Because he had to cover a lot of ground and go in the air and he's running away. So I might put that one a little higher. The play Machado made over the weekend was remarkable as well. I mean, it wasn't quite at this level, but another tremendous play that he made. But yeah, Tatis, I mean, he hit a ball harder than he's ever hit one last night, and then he made a play that's probably as good as any of the, best plays that he's made. And it was, all in one game. And then the Padres lost anyway. So it's like it's one of those things where it's you kind of take away, wow, that was something to watch, but in, you know, if you're a Padres win-loss person above all else, you have to come away disappointed from that game. If you're a wow, I love watching baseball, love watching great players do great things, then you certainly got your money's worth just from Tatis last night. And like each time you watch it, you see something else out of the play. And so I feel like while we're sitting here, I want to watch it five more times. We covered that. We did not get enough into the trade deadline stuff, but let's get back on that. Friday, we'll let you pick up on some more rumors and come back with that. We'll wish everyone a good week, and we'll talk to you on Friday after three more with the Nationals, and we'll preview the final three before the break.